Welcome back to Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. To follow us through our daily newsletter, go to upnorthnewswi.com and click on newsletter in the top banner. It's something that I put out each weekday afternoon with a summary of stories that we're working on at Up North News. There was a story that we did last month, an intensely personal story that we did about a woman in Chippewa Falls and what she went through a year ago, well before the U.S. Supreme Court inserted itself even deeper into the lives of women and their physicians by repealing the abortion protections in Roe versus Wade. And we are very thankful that Heather Martell was willing to share that story with us. She's been sharing it elsewhere as well. We'll talk about why that is, but she joins us this morning for a little while. Heather, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. To get into this, Heather, I think perhaps the best way to start this is right away to go after a myth that is still being perpetuated and honestly still being perpetuated right now. And that way, I guess I shouldn't say myth because it's not 100% of the time, but you know, bear with me here. That people, especially late term abortions, are being used as some sort of form of birth control. You know, as you put it so well in your story, oh, I'm 5 months pregnant. I don't feel like being pregnant anymore. It doesn't work that way. And yet late term abortion was the real boogeyman that kind of set the scene for Roe v. Wade to eventually be repealed. But abortion stories like yours usually are the result of tragic circumstances that begin in the happiest circumstances, a pregnancy that you wanted. So having set the scene for that, tell us about, you know, how your pregnancy story began over a year ago.
Sure. First, I want to address the term late term abortion. That's mm-hmm. political nonsense. That's not an actual medical term. I had a second trimester abortion. We had, my husband and I had been trying to conceive since we got married in 2015. We went through some really invasive testing and were basically told by my OB, sorry guys, not likely going to happen for you. IVF and intrauterine IUI wouldn't likely help us conceive. So we spent the next 6 years just going about life under the impression that, hey, I'm not going to get pregnant. And then I got pregnant. Surprise, surprise. It was totally unplanned. None of my pregnancies have ever been planned, but it was a very happy surprise. We were thrilled. But I had had a feeling throughout the entire pregnancy that something wasn't right, that something just felt off. So I was on my OB to get the early testing. I advocated for myself. I was saying, hey, something just doesn't feel right. Can we get early genetic testing done? So we did that. We did that at 8 or 10 weeks and it came back normal. I asked for other testing, but because the early blood test came back normal, my doctor said, you know, the other tests aren't as reliable as the blood test. Don't worry about it. Your insurance isn't going to cover an amnio because you're not 35 yet, which is an arbitrary number. And your blood panel came back normal. Okay, fine. We had early testing at ultrasounds at 8 weeks and at about 15, 16 weeks. And then I requested that we have the anatomical ultrasound at 18 weeks instead of 20 weeks in Wisconsin. I know your wife is an OB, so she can probably tell you this too. Most anatomical testing or ultrasounds are done at 20 weeks here in Wisconsin, just because of the size of everything and the development. You're looking at really, really small organs that are still forming. So 20 weeks, you get a little bit better picture. But I knew that something just wasn't right. And I knew that Wisconsin at that point, the cutoff for abortion was 20 weeks. So I wanted to get in sooner so I would have that time to make any decisions if anything had to be made. Our 18-week anatomical ultrasound, we couldn't see anything because he was curled up into a ball and he wouldn't move around. So we came back a week later thinking, okay, he's got to move around a little bit and be in a different position. We come back a week later and we're in the room with the ultrasound tech for maybe 10 minutes. She takes a 3D ultrasound photo of his spine, really quick, looks at his heart and does a quick sweep of his belly trying to find kidneys and runs out of the room. And when she comes back, she is really quiet and she says, a nurse is going to bring you back to the doctor. Right. Our doctor was at a different clinic that day. So we spoke to a different doctor, one that we didn't know. And she, as soon as we were in that room, as soon as the ultrasound tech left, I knew what was coming, not the extent, but just that this isn't good news. Mm-hmm. I kind of knew what she was looking at because this wasn't my first baby. This wasn't my first pregnancy. So I knew something was wrong with the spine. Something was wrong with the heart. And she left really quick. So this isn't going to be good. Right. We got into the little exam room. Doctor came in, said, I'm sorry. And I kind of just went into shock. I didn't hear anything else. But after that, we went to Marshfield Clinic in Marshfield, Wisconsin, to have a level 2 ultrasound, which is more detailed, more intense of an ultrasound. It's not something that you do unless you see something in the first ultrasound, that anatomy ultrasound. At that appointment, we were seen by a maternal fetal medicine specialist, an amazing doctor, and we were seen by a pediatric cardiologist. We had a fetal echocardiogram, try saying that 5 times fast. Both were amazing at their jobs, top of their game. Wonderful, wonderful doctors. At this appointment, we found out the extent of what was wrong. Eventually, we got a catch-all diagnosis called Vectrals Association. So what we found out during this ultrasound was that he had at least 2 deformed and misshapen vertebrae on his thoracic spine at the upper and the lower portions of his thoracic. Mm-hmm. And this caused spinal cord damage, which made him paralyzed. We had never felt him kick. We learned that his heart had a VSD, which is a hole, and it was rather significant. Mm-hmm. A VSD on its own, you can survive that. They can operate. Then we found out that his arteries, his aortic arteries, were actually deformed. Mm-hmm. He was missing his kidney, and his other kidney was undersized. And he had something called rocker bottom feet on both of his feet. So his feet were actually shaped like rocking chair bottoms.
The odds were stacked against him from very early on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And again, as you'd said, to Christina for the story, any one of those things, because I can already hear people saying, well, babies are born with problems all the time and doctors are wonderful and science is amazing. But it's not always like that. And especially when you have this many things going on, Heather. So your concern, your ultimate concern was what your baby would be feeling as its nervous system developed and could feel things later in pregnancy. And then of course, what his early minutes, hours, or life would have been like. And this was not guesswork. You again, talking to your doctors, knew what he would have gone through.
Yes. Yes. And at that point, I was also experiencing fetal seizures, which are extremely rare. So he was already seizing. Yeah, his prognosis was not compatible with life. He had a chance of being born, but he would be born in excruciating pain. Anybody with a spinal cord injury can tell you about that. I mean, and this was bigger than just like a slipped disc. And
yeah, and this is anybody, again, anybody who's had a newborn, and with, if you're newborn, or infant or even toddler is in pain and can't really tell you what is hurting. It is heartbreaking. And especially if there's nothing you can do right away for that pain. Now imagine that as, you know, 24/7. Right. I mean, that's
from before he's even born.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in that we've got about 2 minutes here before break, and then we're going to talk throughout another segment here. So I guess we'll take this short time before the break just to lead into what the decision ultimately was, and then we'll talk more about it afterwards. But you received information from medical professionals, and then you and your husband, let's just start with what you did decide, and then we'll talk more about the reasoning behind it. But, you know, how does this chapter of the story end, I guess?
At that appointment, we kind of went in thinking there were things wrong, but maybe we could fix them. We didn't go in thinking, okay, we're going to schedule an abortion after this. It was, how can we mitigate these circumstances? But by the end of the appointment, it was, how do we get a referral to Planned Parenthood?
Yeah. And because, and based again on the information, and it's not, again, to attack another one of these myths, you weren't coerced into or bullied into making this decision.
No. My doctors never even mentioned abortion. They said, do you want to talk about your options? I said, yes. How do I go about getting a referral to Planned Parenthood?
Yeah. And for those reasons that we'll talk more about in just a couple of minutes here, but the important thing for everybody to note here is that these painful discoveries and then the information, the scientific, science-based information that went back and forth, and the decision that was ultimately made, at no point had a politician involved. At no point had a government mandate, and most importantly, did not have a government ban involved that would say, no, you have to, we are going to force you to have this pregnancy and the resulting hell that results. Heather Martell is our guest. We'll be back with more after this. This is Up North News.